live in the suburbs. 88% of this region's poor live in the suburbs. Between 2000 and 2013, poverty in Atlanta's suburbs had the highest rate of change of any metro region of its size in the United States. Between 2000 and 2011, the number of people living in poverty in the city of Atlanta increased 11%. Over that same time period, the number of people living in poverty in Atlanta's suburbs increased, are you ready for this? 158%. Kim Anderson of the nonprofit Family First says, poverty is moving to the suburbs, primarily where more affordable housing is located. So in many cities around the country, not just Atlanta, the old inner city projects, housing projects, they're being demolished. And in its place, we're putting up high rise, high rent, high price apartments and condominiums. Gentrification. It's a serious problem. And although affordable housing might be located in particular suburbs, jobs aren't located in those same suburbs. I mean, what makes a suburb so affordable? Generally, it might be a place in decline, maybe not vibrant. Kim Anderson again says, a year or so ago, the cheapest rents were in the Lawrenceville area, but the largest number of entry-level jobs were in Kennesaw. I'm new. Can somebody help me out here? Are they close to one another? Actually, I know where they are. It's yesterday. I did a MapQuest or a Google search or Google Maps thing. It's 48 minutes on Saturday morning when there's no traffic. With traffic, it's probably an hour and a half. Probably comfortably an hour and a half. And that's if you have a vehicle. And that's if you have a reliable vehicle. I don't think you could even get there, right? Using public transportation. It might take 3 hours to do that. So when I first moved down here last July, the first organization that I visited was North Fulton Community Charities. Why? Because I heard all these people talking about North Fulton Community Charities. So I decided to check it out, and I went and met the executive director, Barbara Duffy. And she sat me down in her office, and she gave me the overview of the history of North Fulton Community Charities, and she gave me this lovely tour. And I left there, and I thought that, you know, that's a pretty organized organization, one that we could easily plug into, and maybe help one another. We could help them fulfill their mission, work to help fulfill their mission, and they could help us by giving us an opportunity to be of service. They could help us form relationships with people in our community who might be experiencing distress, people we normally wouldn't come into contact with in our normal everyday lives. So today we're honored to have with us Vonda Malbro, who's been with DC for 10 years. She's their director of communications. And this is Sunday, her day off. So thank you for coming. Thank you so much. And to be subjected to a portion of our worship service as well, because you're not a Unitarian Universalist yet, are you? You can fill out a visitor card, and somebody might hand you a pledge form, too. So anyway, please show your appreciation for Vonda as she introduces North Fulton Community Charities to us.
Well, good morning and happy Sunday. I have to tell you, this is pretty huge for me. I feel big now because I'm not that tall in my real life, but now I feel really, really tall. Actually, your guest speaker this morning was supposed to be our Director of Volunteer Services, Charlotte Calloway, but unexpectedly she had a schedule change and asked me to fill in. And I was very happy to oblige since I have been here before. It's actually my third trip here to Human, so it was a very easy time to say yes. I love that Minister Dunn said that it's my day off. I am a mother of two. It is never my day off. I was probably up at 8 o'clock, so waiting for my 17-year-old to come home from a sleepover, so no, but I appreciate that. As I said, happy Sunday. My name is Vonda Malbro. I am Director of Communications, but most importantly, I am a member of North Fulton. As a community, I live here. I work here. I play here. My children attend school here. And I've seen change here. And the reason for that change, good have or bad, have been surrounded by an issue that Minister Dunn has just addressed, which is poverty in the suburbs. And I want to just take a few moments just to kind of go over what that means, how NFCC is addressing that issue, and with your collective partnership, how we continue to move the needle in a great direction. You know, one of my favorite quotes, I actually have two. One is Gandhi, and it says, be the change you want to see in the world. It's something that I hope I model not only for my children, but for others. But I really love what he says. It's very simple. You know, change doesn't take a lot to do. You can go from just changing this outfit I have on from a black shirt to a red shirt, and I feel like I went from night to day. So it's very easy. And when I think about change, I think that change just really takes one person. I mean, if you think about that, it just takes one person. You know, change happens so quickly. You know, a good example, last month I was leaving work. I was on my way to my daughter's game. She's a cheerleader. In my mind, I had this great agenda. It was a Friday evening. And just like that, when you talk about change, someone hit me in the back in my car. Change. Changed my whole day. It went from I had to go pick up her friend to get her to this game and go get my daughter something to eat to I had to make a phone call to my husband and say, listen, I just had this car accident. Very blessed. It wasn't major. Had to go to the urgent care to get checked out and had to go home. But it's change. And when you think of change for families who are struggling through poverty, it's very simple like that. It really just happens like that. It doesn't take a lot. It could be the loss of income. It could be the loss of transportation. It could be sickness. It could just be a loss. A few years ago, there was a story, and you probably somewhat remember, there was a woman who gave birth, went to, now it's WellStar, was North Fulton Hospital, probably about 2 weeks before Christmas, she went in to give birth. This never happens. I mean, we're in the world of technology and healthcare, and she died after giving birth, leaving her husband with a child who was two and a newborn. So a two-income family dramatically went down to a one-income family, and where she was probably going to care for the children, he went from being a widow to a single father to now having to care for a child, children. Change. So the purpose of NFCC is to help during that time of change or what we consider a time of crisis. We want to prevent change or crisis from happening and keeping families stable when an unexpected crisis arrives. We want to prevent homelessness and hunger. And we do that collaboratively, compassionately, and comprehensively through the free programs and services that we provide to local families just living in this community, just in Alpharetta, just in Johns Creek, just in Milton, just in Mountain Park, just in Roswell. See, what you need to recognize of all of those five cities is that they are known for their influence and for their affluence. They're known for income levels above 90,000. They're known from the great schools. They're known for the tech industry right here. Fiber optics right under 400. That's why that traffic is so bad. And I'm telling you. And so what happens is that when people think of suburban poverty, they don't think that you live right next to that person. And we see those individuals, as Reverend Dunn mentioned, who are that working class poor, who are making less than $25,000, who are servicing the hospitality and the retail industry. You know, we just built Avalon about 2.5 years ago, and you think about all of those restaurants and their expansions, they're going to need people to work in that industry. Well, we serve those people, and you are absolutely right. Many of them cannot afford to even live near their jobs. And if you don't live or have a car, public transportation in Atlanta is not like New York or Chicago or D.C. where they can hop in, you know, one area to the next. Just to quickly sidetrack, I took my mother to New York a few years ago, and she was amazed the train can go from downtown Manhattan to the Statue of Liberty in less than 45 minutes. We don't have that access here. Everything we do has to be done with mostly a car. And so when we say that we like the expansion, because let's be honest, you know, I've lived in this community for about 10 years since I've worked here, and I've seen more construction over the past few years. Well, we need individuals who can help with that construction, but they're building homes that they themselves can't live in or afford. So when it comes to our organization and our volunteers, and first of all, we want to thank the individuals from Human who provide that volunteer service. We want to thank the members who once a month provide the detergent that you give to our families. We appreciate that. We understand the value of partnership and collaboration. We understand the true nature that the 4,000 families that we just saw last year in 2016, which makes up about 10,000 individuals, including children, cannot be supported without your help. We understand that the 8 to 9 tons of food that we provide each week, you know, if you were a third grade class, I would tell you that's the size of an elephant. I've rode an elephant, they're big, trust me. It's a lot of food that we give out. But that 8 to 9 tons of food, that equates to 2,200 families a month that come on a consistent basis. They're not in a Kroger's or a Publix or an Aldi's or a Walmart or a Target. They're in a pantry at NFCC, which is less than 10 minutes from this doorstep or this church. And so when we think about a partnership and we think about the value of that partnership, this is where you come in. You help us to provide that support from our food pantry, from our thrift shop, where not only is it open to the public, but it's the number amount of clothes that we give away, over $1 million, for our adult educational classes, because we don't want to just provide support. We do want to provide the education to help them become contributing members. We want to keep them here. We want to support them. We want to love them. We want to help them, and not just them, because poverty breeds poverty. So we want to help their children. You know, I compare poverty to a turtle and a giraffe. There is one of a minister I listen to named T.D. Jakes out of Dallas, Texas, and he wrote a book. He says, you know, some people have a turtle mindset and some people have a giraffe mindset. And he says, we need turtles. I mean, that's what they're good for. They're at the lower level. They keep us grounded. They show things that no one else seen. But if we want to get up, we got to have some giraffe to show you that there's more. And that's what NFCC does. Because when we do have turtles who only see just one level of their lives, we have giraffes that come in and help them to climb up. And we thank you for being a giraffe. We thank you for that because, you know, you're not helping just us through NFCC. I know that you just started a fantastic partnership with Family Promise, which is an amazing organization. You know, through Family Promise is where families come through to us as well. So I thank you. You know, I thank you for your value of your service, for your impact, for your inspiration. I know that Reverend Dunn is going to give you some additional information of how we can extend that partnership, and I hope that you join him, you know, because I must say a great leader is not what he or she says, it's what he or she does. And the idea that he took the time and came into an organization that many people haven't thought about, have tried to ignore, or didn't step in, and sat down with Barbara and took a tour, and then boldly stood here in front of his congregation and says, we need to take a chance. That's a great leader. Great leaders don't run countries. Great leaders run people. Great leaders model. So thank you for the opportunity to model. And I hope that when you leave here today, if you didn't oversleep, thank goodness. I was a little nervous, I got to tell you. I set a lot of clocks in my house to make sure I was up. I really hope that you do, if nothing else, come and visit. If nothing else, speak to some of the volunteers that have helped us. And if nothing else, just tell some friends. Because for those of us who went to college, no matter what your age were, if you look to your left and look to your right, you had that professor that said, one of you may not be here. I hope you never have to look to your left or look to your right and have to come and ask for service. But if you do, please know 30 years later we're still around to help you because you are our neighbor and we love you.
Thank you, Vonda. She has to leave us. She has another gig to go to or something. Basil the Great, the 4th century bishop of Caesarea, known for his care for the poor, wrote, "If one who takes the clothing off another is called a thief, why give any other name to one who can clothe the naked yet refuses to do so? The bread that you withhold belongs to the poor. The cape that you hide in your chest belongs to the naked. The shoes rotting in your house belong to those who have none." Ouch. Again, that hurts. That's hurt. That's put very bluntly. Again, 88% of the region's poor live in the suburbs. Between 2000 and 2011, the number of people living in poverty, below the poverty line, increased 158% in the suburbs. Hopefully statistics like that will remove some stereotypes you might have about poverty, the suburbs, and the city. I won't speak for you. I'll use I language. Those statistics challenge my perspectives, challenge my stereotypes. Part of my spiritual practice, a little piece, is I try to ask myself every day, and often before I go into meetings and things like that, how am I wrong? How am I wrong? And statistics like this hit me like a gut punch and tell me, Dave, you are wrong about poverty. You are wrong about the city and the suburbs. Dave, you live in your little Dave Dunn bubble, and you fail to see things as they are. You see what you want to see, Dave. And I think I have to admit that at times that I do. Spirit, like the ghost of Christmas past, present, and Christmas yet to come in Charles Dickens' Christmas Carol. Spirit of life, come unto me. Help me see things as they are. Give my life the shape of justice. Teach me. Show me. We will be formalizing our relationship with North Fulton Community Charities, as we've mentioned. We are going to work there as a group and as individuals, both. As a group and as individuals. And as I think it's in our order of worship, I didn't check, but we're having a kickoff meeting for this on Wednesday at 7 o'clock in Discovery Hall. And I hope to see some of you folks there. It's going to be fun, I promise. Not the meeting, the work. The meeting won't be fun. So, can you risk having a relationship with the other? Can you risk finding yourself in the other? Can you risk seeing the unseen? Can you risk seeing things as they are? Jean Vanier writes, "We are loved and have a mission to love. But the poor and the weak are not just objects of charity and love, and even less are they useless to be discarded or seen as a problem or a burden. But rather, and I so very much believe this, but rather, they are called to be a source of life for us all. If we come close to them, in some mysterious way, they bring us closer to what is essential. They call us to truth, to compassion, and to the centeredness of our very lives. This is the gift. This is the grace that being of service bestows."